Minnesota's largest solar power project went online quietly in December atop two parking ramps at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Joining us now to tell us all about it is Dennis Probst, who spearheaded the project. He's Executive Vice President for the Metropolitan Airports Commission. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Dennis.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yes, and I can imagine you guys are experiencing some snowy weather down there as well.
It's a little overcast with flurries today, so unfortunately the solar project isn't having one of its greatest days, but we'll do a lot better.
Now, catch us up, Danny. Give us an idea of a little bit in your role with the Metropolitan Airports Commission, how you came to be in charge of Minnesota's largest solar array.
Well, I'm essentially the chief operating officer for the Metropolitan Airports Commission, and we have a long history of environmental responsibility, ranging everything from and everywhere from energy conservation projects to lower our use to our noise mitigation projects with our neighbors around the airports. And as we have, we've actually looked many times over the years at trying to find ways to do alternate energy solutions here at the airport, and it's been, frankly, difficult. We went through a process that led to the completion of the current project whereby we looked at combining a relighting of our four parking ramps at the Lindbergh Terminal combined with the solar project, and as we went through the process, found some very innovative ways to finance it. And it has turned out to be, we think, what is going to be a great project for the airport, not only in terms of making a statement about doing everything we can to be environmentally responsible and make this airport as green as it can be, but also from a financial responsibility standpoint, in that the project, the financial analysis of the project in the end here shows a net present value of $10 million for the airport. So, in addition to its great environmental characteristics, it also is helping us be financially sustainable as well.
Well done, Denny. This seems like the kind of project that is going to be held as an outstanding example of innovation and progress in this field. That's very much on the forefront of the pioneers and the people that are changing things. We're switching technology now. And I applaud your efforts. Now, give us an idea of how large this solar array is.
Well, it is, as you noted, it is the largest solar array, at least for the moment, in the state of Minnesota. It is also one of the largest, if not the largest, system that's actually mounted on structure. And that, frankly, was one of our big challenges in moving ahead with the project. We do have essentially six large parking ramps here. So we have almost 26 acres of roofs of parking facilities here at MSP. And those facilities aren't good for much beyond being the top level of a parking ramp. And we have now struck upon this idea of turning that asset into something that can actually help us, which is the solar arrays that are covering those upper levels now. But that is also a challenge for systems that are ground-mounted, where you're able to actually mount the solar panels on the ground or set them on the ground, is a far less expensive approach to doing solar. For example, on our project, our total budget in round numbers is about $25.4 million for the 3-megawatt system, which covers two parking ramps. But nearly 40% of that cost was additional structure that we had to add to the top of those facilities to be able to install the system. So as we've worked our way through the project, we've come upon many hurdles as we've gone through the process. But each time we've, through some innovative design work and financing and other ways of sort of taking the project apart, putting it back together, we've been able to move ahead, and we, as you noted, are now operational since December 1.
Yeah, and it sounds like it was a bit of a soft opening in terms of throwing the switch. You didn't have Will Steger there as you, at the groundbreaking ceremony, I think was much more publicized when you guys sort of hatched the concept. I think, was it in 2012 or so you guys started working on this?
We have actually been trying to put this project together for about 3 years, and the last year, obviously, it was under construction. And quite honestly, we would have loved to have had a much grander flipping of the switch, if you will. But the reality was that we were moving into weather that did not make doing an event up on the rooftop very practical for us. So
that's Minnesota for you, huh?
That is.
Give us an idea of the initial. It's been a month. How's, you know, is it working? How are things?
Well, it's working as it's supposed to. However, given the weather we've had in December, there's been a lot of overcast. It's certainly not, we're not at peak output, but we're very comfortable and very confident about how the system is going to operate. And to date, everything has gone, frankly, according to plan. So we're anxious for more sunny days, and also there's some additional monitoring equipment that is yet to come that ultimately will allow passengers in the terminal to actually see real-time output from the system on some kiosks that are to be installed there.
And if you could, Denny, describe the flow of that output. Is it going right back into the airport? Is it into the grid? What's the meter like?
Well, in theory, it's going back out into the grid, but the reality is the electrons kind of don't care where they go, and our power requirements here at the airport are such that we don't think the electricity is actually leaving the campus. The capacity of the system, the 3-megawatt system, represents about 15% of the total load, the total peak load for Terminal 1 here at the airport.
Wow, that's a lot of power.
It is, and actually one of the other, the engineers tell me to be careful about how much I pledge here, but with the relamping, we went to all LED lighting in the 4 parking ramps, and we are very, very close to being able to generate enough power with the solar system to cover all of the power requirements for those 4 parking ramps. So it's a really big deal relative to our operations here and trying to push to a net zero electric operation for those 4 ramps.
Yeah, and it seems to be a value-added system. You're not only getting energy out of it, but you're getting positive press, positive peer feedback, I'm sure. Any other little upgrades you made as a result? You mentioned the LED lighting. Any other improvements that were associated with this project?
No, that was the biggest change, I think, if you will, to the parking ramps. But one of the things that was important to us, and if your listeners do travel through MSP and get the opportunity, if not parking up on that upper level, at least wander up there and take a look. The system is very public. It's very visible. And the contractor's installation is really quite well done in terms of being very orderly and being able to sort of see conduit and wire and actually observe the panels. And as I say, we're hoping to have these kiosks up soon, hopefully, that'll allow us to allow the public to monitor or see what's going on out there on a real-time basis.
Quite a billboard. If you're just joining us, we have Dennis Probst on the line. He's the Executive Vice President for the Metropolitan Airports Commission and the current man in charge of Minnesota's largest solar farm. Turned on or became live in December, and I talked to a weather guy last week, Denny, and it sounded like one sunny day last month. How does that affect performance?
Well, it hurts it significantly. The good news is that the peak loads that we see and that, frankly, challenge the entire electrical grid are those hot, sunny days in the summer. And that will be operating at peak capacity during those peak need times. So it's a nice match from that standpoint in terms of our loads. We actually are air conditioning in the terminal year-round because of the lighting and people loads that are in the building.
And how do the panels handle snow and ice?
We hope well. We're getting a live test here. The anticipation is that we'll be able to manage that well. It does provide some cover for the folks who are parking up on that upper level of the ramp, but it's going to be a learning opportunity for us as we go through our first winter here to see precisely how it behaves with snow on it and as the snow slides off, how that's going to affect our snow removal operations on what was otherwise an open deck.
Well, Denny, you've got a pretty good background here in architecture. It looks like a master's degree. And how much did your skills and your expertise in architecture help you in this project?
Well, I think it was valuable. One of the things that I guess we learn in architectural school and becomes part of the practice is that there's no single right answer for how you do things. And as I was alluding to earlier, as we ran up against challenges, you know, we looked at all the potential options for what we could do and how we might solve those and keep the project moving. And I would offer for anyone contemplating doing something like this, you need a project champion who is not going to allow when the going gets a little tough, you know, to allow people to step back and say, okay, it can't work, we're not going to proceed. And in our case, you know, we ran into some issues along the way with financing and some of the design issues that had some of the folks on the team saying, well, you know, it's time to step back and, you know, maybe it can't work. But rather than going down that path, we went down the path of, okay, if this is the issue, how can we solve this problem? And in every instance, we were able to work our way through those things to the point that, if you're not aware already, we are, in fact, moving ahead with another system about half the size of the T1 system over on top of one of our parking ramps at Terminal 2, and we'll be underway this spring with that project, which will also involve a relighting of those facilities to bring that facility in line with what we've done at Terminal 1.
Now, Denny, you mentioned financing as an obstacle, as a hurdle. Give us an example of how you solve that. What's the news on your progressive financing package?
Well, where we started the project, which is typical of most public entities, is we anticipated that we would be doing what's referred to as a power purchase agreement, where a third party would come in, build the system, they would own and operate it for a period of probably 20 years is the norm, and then it would revert back to us as the owner and would be our system beyond the 20-year mark. And the reason for that is there are tax credits out there. There's also depreciation of the system. But as a public entity, we cannot take advantage of either of those matters. But as we got into the project and were sort of challenged by whether or not that was going to work or whether we could get an electrical rate that was going to be competitive for us, we struck upon another vehicle that was out there, and that are what are referred to as qualified energy conservation bonds, QECBs, and were able to finance virtually the entire project, $23 million of the $25.4 million, with these QEBC bonds, for which we are paying less than 1%. Actually, I think we're at about 0.75% as an effective interest rate on those bonds. And so instead of this being owned by a third party, the Metropolitan Airports Commission actually owns the system from day one, but we do have an operating and maintenance agreement with the contractor. So for the next 20 years, they have a responsibility to operate that system. And as a part of that, we also have a performance guarantee. So we have a firm commitment, a guaranteed commitment from that contractor for the overall output over that 20-year period. And then we have some options beyond that to retain them to take it further out.
So you're effectively owning it now and making money off of it now. And there's this, you know, the previous tax credit model seems obsolete.
Well, it didn't work for us. I mean, I think there probably are entities out there that might be able to use that. But as expensive as we feel like electrical rates are here in the Midwest, in Minnesota in particular, they're not so high that they make doing solar sort of a no-brainer project. You really have to be very diligent in how you put it together and make sure that whatever your total project is, that it's making sense in the end. And that was important to us. As I alluded to earlier, I mean, it's very important to the airport and to our commission that we be as green an airport as we can. We're not the neighbor that people dream of. The ability to do this and make that public statement, and as you suggested earlier, it has been incredibly well received, both in the kickoff and now that we're up and operating It's drawing a lot of interest and a lot of people that are looking to understand how we did it and how we're moving forward with it.
Well, you know, not to be Minnesota proud, but we're a state of great endeavors, and the solar industry in particular seems to be excelling throughout the region. Did you have a lot of luck with the local suppliers and local contractors being competent in this?
We did. In fact, half of the project, one ramp, is completely panels by a company here in the it's located in the Twin Cities. They do their manufacturing here, 10K Solar. And so we're going to have essentially a live test site for their project or their panels against other panels that were basically just bought off the open market. And we have a high enough degree of confidence in how those are going to work that the entire system that's going to be built over at Terminal 2 will be built with those locally manufactured panels.
Boy, that's great collaboration, Denny. Great job. Let's see, where can our listeners go to see this and learn more? Any websites or anything you'd like to add?
I have to confess, I'm not sure if we've got pictures up on our website, but anytime they come through MSP to fly, if they're looking to escape to a warmer climb this summer through our airport, we'd certainly love to have them walk through the area out there and take a look at it. And stay tuned, because we'll be doing another project, and we'll certainly be talking about that as well as it comes forward.
Oh, before I let you go, I was wondering about glare and safety, air traffic safety. Like, was that ever an issue?
It's a big issue. In fact, there's a complete glare analysis that was done and reviewed and approved by the FAA. In fact, the panel orientation had to be modified slightly because, as you correctly point out, there could be no glare for the pilots that are landing on the runways that parallel both sides of the parking facility.
Well, great job, Dennis. Great project. Minneapolis Airport, largest solar array in the state. Not for long, though, right? You've got some competition out there.
Not for long. There's several coming, although I will say that they are all ground-mounted, so we're still going to hang on to our claim as the largest structurally mounted. But there's some very significant projects coming, presumably in the fairly near future here in the state.
The largest, tallest, right?
That's true. We'll be able to make that claim. Thanks.
All right. Dennis Probst, Executive Vice President, Metropolitan Airports Commission. Thanks for joining us on the Roadhouse.
Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.